We are starting a new series of studies today. I trust a brief series of studies with respect to the names of God, the revelation of God to man by his names. Oftentimes the question is raised, has God revealed himself to man? Does God have any interest in you? Does he have any interest in me? If so, what is that interest? Do you remember in the book of Job, chapter 11, we have where the question is raised, canst thou by searching find God? Or you take Job, chapter 23, verse 3, where Job cries out, oh, that I might know where to find him. This is the cry of a great many hearts, the cry for the reality of the knowledge of God. Not only an intellectual knowledge of God, but an experimental knowledge. As I said, does God have any interest in me? In you? Can I get to know God? Does he know me? If so, what? There's no question of the fact that you and I are personalities. And you remember in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read that God made man in his own image, in his own likeness. And if we are have been made in the image of God with gifts, with wills, with minds, with emotions, etc., being personalities, with having these various things, then what is God like? He must be a personality. And he must have a will and a mind and emotions. The remarkable thing is that though sin ruined man, and there's no question about that, that's just history. Whether you take the first century or whether you take the last century or take the present century, wherever you turn, sin has ruined man. Death reigns because of sin. You remember in the book of Romans chapter 5, we read, if by one man sin entered into the world, and death because of sin. So death reigns today, even over those who did not sin the way Adam sinned. But there's no question that man is dead in trespasses and sins. The natural life of any man or woman is to sin. That is, to do things that are contrary to the character of God. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not so bad. Well, what is your standard? If you and I are to come in the presence of God, if you and I are to know God and come into relationship with God and seeing that God is righteous, then he must do something for man. Not only create man, but now that man has fallen into sin and is alienated from God by wicked works, and death reigns today, and death is the fruitage of sin. The question is raised, can I know God? You see, you communicate to God in words, and he communicates to you. I want to say at the very outset of this brief series of studies, the marvelous thing is that God has made provision whereby you and I can really, really know him. And not only know him, but experience life and communion and fellowship with the eternal sovereign God. Now, God has revealed himself, as I said, in his names. And as I read these things, I find that God is not through with man. In fact, the whole heart of God in his purpose, in his program, is for man. Let us never forget that God loves men and women. As Romans chapter 5, verse 8 declares, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet active in our sin, while we were dead in trespasses and sins, nevertheless, he still loved us. And he has made provision whereby you and I can come into fellowship, into relationship, into union with himself. I say this is a tremendous thing. I'm greatly surprised, and yet I shouldn't be, that so many religious people know so little about the Lord. You know, God wants us to be real. God is real. God is righteous. As dear old Abraham could say in Genesis 18, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Of course he will. He's God. But in a wonderful, wonderful way, he has opened up his heart and he has made provision for you and me to know him. And I would like in these few lessons together to bring to your mind, bring to your heart, the revelation of God as seen in his names. Now, just a word about the importance of his name. How often we read in the Bible that he did things for Israel for his name's sake. Take the 23rd Psalm, which you all know. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the 106th Psalm, verse 8, I read, "Nevertheless, he saved Israel for his name's sake. He brought them out of Egypt." Why? For his name's sake. In 1 John 2:12, we have the forgiveness of sins for his name's sake. When John says, "You know that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." You take the 138th Psalm and the second verse. Now in the King James Version it says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." But the literal rendering there is, "Thou hast underwritten every word by thy name." Marvelous thing, is it not? That every word in the Word of God is under his name. What he says is true. I may not understand all that he has said, but nevertheless, what he has said is true. And the Lord of hosts is his name. Allow me to read two or three verses from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 47, I read these words in the fourth verse. "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." In the 48th chapter and the second verse, "They call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name." Take the 51st chapter of Isaiah and the 15th verse. "I am Jehovah thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." You take the book of Amos, chapter 4. Allow me to read the last two verses. "Therefore thus will I do to thee, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Who is he? "For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." I just mention this because I want to whet your appetite for this marvelous revelation of the person of God and his names. For example, if you read your Old Testament, you'll find he's called Elohim. He's called El Elyon, the Most High God. He's called Jehovah, the ever-present God. He's called the El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. He's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's the one who is the Lord our banner. He's Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's the Lord who is present. The Lord is there. It's a millennial theme. Now, I just suggest these things because I want you to know what I'm going to do. As I take up these names in the Old Testament, which gives to us a revelation of the character and the heart of God toward his people, then I want to go into the New Testament and reveal in the New Testament how that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who fulfills all the names of the Old Testament. You remember in John chapter 14, around verses 8 or 9, where one of the disciples said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that's enough." And I think he expected to see someone beside the Savior. But Jesus' amazing answer was, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip? And don't you know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." So that when we read of Elohim in the Old Testament, which is used over 2,700 times in the Old Testament, I find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. If he's the Elyon, the Most High God, I find that fulfilled in Jesus Christ. If he's the great El Shaddai, the Almighty God of the Old Testament, I find Jesus Christ also called the El Shaddai in the New Testament. If he's called Jehovah, the ever-present God, the I Am of the Old Testament, the word of which God said, "This is my name forever," I come to the New Testament, and I find one of the reasons why they sought to slay the Son of God was because he claimed to be Jehovah, the ever-present God. Now, I'm suggesting this to you because I want you to listen through with these lessons concerning the revelation of our God. And I come right back to the question, does God have any interest? Does this mighty, eternal, sovereign God have any interest in you? Does he have any interest in me? Sometimes we read about someone singing, "Your God is not big enough." My friend, when we come to some of these names, I question if the human mind can begin to conceive or grasp the marvel of our God revealed to us in his names. Now, supposing we take the first one. Having said this, by way of introduction, as I said a moment ago, to whet your appetites to get into the Word of God. What kind of a God are you trusting? What kind of a God do you serve? Do you commune with God? Do you know God? I don't mean intellectually, though I want that, of course. I mean, do you really know God? Is there a relationship between you and God? And as we go through the Old Testament on the revelation of his person through his names, I'm going to ask you the question, is this your God? Is this your God? Is your God big enough to take care of you every day, every hour of the day, every minute of the day? Has your God made provision for you whereby, having passed out of death into life, you know without any question of a doubt that even death is defeated, sin has been put away, and that you are, and I say this reverently, as eternal as the Son of God? Now, I'm making a very strong statement there, am I not? But listen, it's either that or nothing. It's either that or nothing. And when I think of the provision God has made for us and the revelation of his person, there's only one thing to do. You say, is to trust him? Oh, yes. But to manifest that trust by getting down and really worshiping him. You know, some time ago, a few years ago, a friend of mine who had a 4.5 or 5 inch telescope up here on the hill in Portland called me up at midnight and he said, "I want you to come out here. It's a beautiful night. The stars are clear. And I want you to share with me in looking at the moon and at Jupiter and our attending moons and all some things in the heavens." And I said to him, I said, "Bob, I'm ready for bed." He said, "Come on up here." But anyhow, we went up there to his home, found some mutual friends there. And we spent, I guess, from 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, just looking through his telescope. And as he explained to us the various things in the heavens, Jupiter with her attending moons, and then to the moon itself and the He named off the mountains and valleys and so on. And I said to him while we were there, I said, Bob, what time is it? And he pulled a big watch out of his pocket. I said, I don't care about your watch. I said, when you're asked the time by Western Union, how do you give them the time? So he pulled a little book from underneath the stand of his telescope, and he turned over to the day. It was about approximately 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, now, according to the heavens, a certain star will be in a certain place at the exact split second. But I said, why look in the book? Oh, to save time. He said, this is a 3-year book on where certain stars will be at a certain time in the heavens. This is where we get our time from. And he worked on his telescope and read the gradations and so on. He said, it's so many seconds past so many minutes past so much hour. And I said, Bob, isn't this an amazing thing? Here are stars and planets whirling through space at unbelievable speeds, and they're always on time, always on the split second, so we can take our watches and we can get the exact time, the exact second from the heavens. Who made that? Friend, did you ever stop to think? Who made the heavens? Who created the heavens and all things? And with these millions upon millions of worlds dashing through space at unbelievable speeds, yet they're always on time. I said to Bob, I said, you know what we should do? He said, what? We ought to get down and worship him. If this is our God, who framed the ages by the word of his mouth, and they're running on the split second, and he's brought you and me, he's made it possible for you and me to have real relationship and fellowship with him. My, what a fool I would be if I didn't know him, if I didn't put my trust in him, and then if I didn't get down and worship him. Do you know, I think this is what we need today among God's people. Do you know your God? You say you're trusting the Savior. What do you know about your Savior? What do you know about God? How much interest do you have in you? How much interest do you have in him? This is not a one-way street. I know he has tremendous interest in us because he made provision through the death and resurrection of his Son to make it possible for a righteous God to pick up hell-deserving sinners and so fashion them, fit them for his presence. And you and I can stand before God in all the merit and beauty of Christ, not because of what he's doing in me, but because of what he's done for me at the cross and in resurrection. So I can come now with confidence, with boldness into his presence. Oh, listen, friend. I want you in these next few lessons to find out what kind of a God we have. Some people have made him a kind of a mamby-pamby sort of a God, as if he were a jellyfish with no backbone. In fact, some people have made their God less than themselves. They have exalted themselves above God. And the more I read my Bible, the more I see the revelation of God, the more I bow in thanksgiving for his grace, for his mercy, for his love. And this produces worship and praise and thanksgiving. And it's high time we Christians spend more time worshiping and praising and magnifying the Lord than we do. This would enrich our lives so that we become usable with our friends, with our neighbors, to manifestation of the love of God before men. Now, that's all I'm going to say today. What I'm after is I want to whet your appetites. What kind of a God do you have? Does he love you? Does he have interest in you? Does he have any hope for you? Or are we just like chips in the sea, being tossed about by every wave and every storm? Oh no, oh no. There's a definite plan, a perfect plan that he has formulated and worked out, whereby men and women like you and me can really come into right relationship with him and have fellowship with him and enjoy him forever. Now may the Lord bless you today.